Western New Jersey.
Yeah.
They call them the Narcs.
Hey.
Oh, Chicago. The temperature was 9 degrees with the wind chill 30 miles.
We are missing the Rutledges.
Yeah, Joe Santa's taking that girl. What is her skills?
Nobody wants to sit with Kevin Allmore.
It's a huge contrast between.
Kind of funny. It's like a crowd of huddled people over here and nobody over there.
Wonder why.
That feels kind of bad.
60 here.
You feel bad for me?
I got another gay cup this morning.
Yeah, it's a cow cup. They're not here. Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. As we've talked about, if you understood just that verse, you'd probably understand a whole lot more of the gospel and the mystery of God. We started talking yesterday about separated. And separated is a word that, well, let's look and see. Go to Galatians 1. Verse 11, but I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, or is not from man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation or manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me to the called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now the word, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, is the same word. It's aphorizo, which means it's going from one condition to a completely new condition.
Like born again?
Well, I want you to see the distinction of it without any baggage. To be separated, let's look at another one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, or let's go to Matthew 13 first. Verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good unto vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. The word sever there is aphorizo. And so this is going to happen. This is a what is. The severing will take place. And it is as violent as your birth. But so is this process, because we must be transfigured by the renewing of our mind. We must see this as total separation. It's not to be a truth seeker. It's not to be a do-gooder. It's not to have any agenda. You are separated from the kingdom of this, the God of this world, into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would have fought. It's a total, complete separation, and it's a separation from every concept that your mind can conceive of, and for every concept that the world prior to this point in time has ever conceived of. Can you see the totality of this? You're called of God as an apostle, a dying seed. It's not a title. Apostle isn't a title. It's a description of the process. So Paul is called an apostle. Called is kletos. Called. He's separated. Now, if that doesn't happen in you, then you're just another simple religion.
I was leaving the other morning. Miss Rutledge, at this point, was bringing up the thing about what the word for church, the call out.
Ecclesiastes.
The same thing. Is that what?
Ecclesia,
Paul
yeah.
Talked about?
Yeah, but that's just what you call the things that have been separated.
But it's yeah.
It's almost like a seed that's put in the ground. It's not.
It's not almost. It is.
Well, there's no relationship between what it looks like when it's put in the ground and what it looks like when it's.
Now let's see what else Paul said about this with regard to our life among this world. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's important to remember that everything in the world and everything in your mind says this isn't true. Your mind is hardwired to be realized in this world, to improve your status, to improve your education, to learn how to behave, to learn how to get along, to do all of these things that are part of this world. That's what your mind is telling you, and that is what the world and all of its systems that preceded this is telling you. They will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself, is what the psalmist said. Now, most of you know a little bit about this from your own relationships with your family, because it's unheard of that you would be separated with nothing to do with the value systems of this world. Nor the political systems, nor the economic systems, nor the business systems, nor anything else. This is why it's such an apostasy to say that we have a Christian radio station that is taking the name of the Lord in vain. That we are going to have a Christian business that is taking the name of the Lord in vain. That is why we're going to call something the house of God. That is taking the name of the Lord in vain. That is why calling some place better than someplace else, that is taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's calling one system of thought that's in the world preferable over another system of thought is taking the name of the Lord in vain. And the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. So if your point of reference for anything you're doing has a reference to this world, then you're taking the name of the Lord in vain if you're doing it in the name of God. Is this? Are you seeing the totality of this? Now let's see what Paul said about us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, it's not giving you an ought to here. It's a what is. Now, it gets worse. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that is that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, that saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And you will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out and be separate. Now, you can't leave the world, and we know from the standpoint of why we're here to fill up the affliction that is lacking in the body of Christ. And that affliction is everything that happens in your world once you say, I'm separate. It may not look like you're separate, but you don't fear the same things they fear. You don't value the same things they value. You don't esteem the same things they esteem. Because you are of a different order, a different class, a different genus. It's a new race. And the only function of you as a person is to be a vessel for that new race. It has nothing to do with some... Have you ever heard me go on a rant when somebody was involved with us because they liked our mission? We didn't have a mission. We get all kinds of people, oh, I love what you're doing with investigating the televangelists. Well, there's no merit in that. Well, when we had the Oklahoma project, we had so many people who were going to be get involved because the ones that we are truly involved with are the ones that are separate, that have come out, that have no truck with the systems of this world. I promise you, when that happens, what happens? This is why, in the first century, evangelism was exactly opposite of what it is today. Nobody ever tried to talk you into something. They warned you to count the cost. You want to be a disciple? Then stop and count the cost. You have anything left that you want to do? Then go do it. What? Gary.
I was thinking about.
I know you were thinking about.
Mega churches. Warning their people. As a whole, it's just not even the same thing. And it's still called a church. You have to shop at our mall.
Okay, let's go to. Let's look at this from another standpoint. Let's look at this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. I can't find what I was looking for. Oh, there it is. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4 first. Let a man so account of us as the ministers or servants of Christ. And we've taken these words like minister, and we've put it. That's something to be attained, or a bishop. Oh, that's something really to be attained, or an apostle. Man, that's way up there. But these are all not titles. They're descriptions of a believer. Can you hear me?
The word for servant is translated minister in a bunch of places.
Well, most places. So there's no merit in being a servant. There's no merit in dying. There's no merit in being an apostle. There's no merit in being a bishop. It has nothing to do with the value system of the flesh that tries to elevate you. That's why this word of God can only be spoken from the what? The low place, the bima, or the bama, I mean. And now, but the bima was to be avoided. That's the high place. Therefore, what we have now, we got it reversed. We have the minister in a pulpit above the congregation.
Yeah, the world has redefined the word.
No, Christians have redefined it. The world doesn't care about our little words. Okay, now watch. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Why? Because his will is swallowed up in the will of something or someone else, and not anybody of this world. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Remember, we talked so long about Christ was manifest in the flesh, but he was never justified in the flesh. He was manifest in the flesh, but he was only justified in the Spirit. And that has to be true to every one of us. If you try to justify yourself and your position to yourself or about yourself to anything or anyone, you'll do something weird spiritually. You can never be justified. Okay. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if thou did receive it, why dost thou glory? If thou had not received it. In other words, you've been given it free, so why do you glory about it? Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. That's satire, by the way. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles. Now again, he's not talking just about the 12 apostles and Paul and maybe Apollos and Silvanus and a couple others. He's talking about the condition of the dying seed. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. For we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. Now, you're talking, he's saying, be a follower of me because I am despised and defamed and the filth and the offscouring of the world. Do you understand that's what it says? But don't you see how your very second-by-second life is a life of not that? It's a life of wanting to have fairness and justice, you think. You want to be treated well. You want to be respected. You want all of these things. You want warm pancakes, hot pancakes. Can you see how your mind is an enemy of this? And then when you have enough people that agree with you, then you have a whole new denomination. It has nothing to do with it. I mean, there's no denominations in Christ. It's a what is. It's not a what you should be or should do. As I've said so often, if there is a what to do in this Bible, I'm going to throw the whole thing away. Because this is not a description of what to do. It's a description of two conditions, either a vessel of mercy or a vessel of wrath. Either. That's all. Can you get a little better understanding of what the word separated here means? What?
Is this the concept separation ever used in relation to sacrificial cutting?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up. Or you'll have to look it up. Well, it's what, you know, where it says, where it talks about rightly dividing the word of truth, that is the word rightly dividing is what that's the act of the sacrificial knife, rightly dividing to make sure that the most innermost parts, there's no unclean thing from the law. That's why the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even soul and spirit and bone and marrow. So it goes down to the deepest intents to find out whether there's anything that's not in agreement with the kingdom of God. But when we put our little rose-colored glasses on and we our silver back glasses, and wherever we look, we see it as how, what does this mean to me? It doesn't mean anything to you. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ, not of you. What, John? Understand?
You were talking about separating the just and the unjust. I mean, there's only one that's just.
Right.
And so everything else is unjust.
That's right. It's not what you think is just. What?
When you're separated,
you don't have any consciousness of being separated.
Yeah, and you can't use the tools of your former base of understanding to comprehend the place you're separated into.
Right, like I want to be a musician for Christ.
I didn't know that parable about the fishing net was in the Bible. I never heard that before.
Yeah.
It got my attention. And it reminds me of the thing in Zephaniah about the judgment seat, experiencing the judgment seat now. Before that time, I have the same reaction to the thing about the fishing net. Let's keep doing what we're doing.
All right, now let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. When we first started, I probably read this section of Scripture more than anything else. The chapter 3 is talking about how the veil was over Moses, the words of Moses, and when he was read, they couldn't. The veil is really this silver nitrate, the mirror, so that all people see is themselves. And how does this affect me? And what does this mean to me? But then it says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The veil meaning your understanding of you. You no longer see the you as your subject of your sentence, because you've turned, repented, you've seen yourself as that dust and ashes. You're not putting dust and ashes on you to give some outward sign of repentance. You've seen yourself as that dust and ashes. Now you're simply a vessel, and you have no interest in yourself any longer. And that, and not even, this is what I'm thinking, and this is what I'm trying to understand, and this is what I'm trying to figure out, and this is the way I see that. Nobody cares. It's either truth or it isn't. Anyway. But the veil should be taken. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face. Now, again, there's no way to describe this word open face, because it means with total transparency. There's nothing that we keep to ourselves. It's just we're totally transparent. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, no longer ourselves, but we behold the glory of the Lord, because wherever we look, there's Him. Are changed or metamorphosed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. That faint meaning you don't quit in your mind. You don't let any stupid idea and accusations accusations, whatever, that your mind makes, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves openly, is what it says, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, or that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, your doulos, your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, all that's wonderful and great. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And as John found out one day, it's really broken earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. And that means that's your constant state. If you looked at it if you had any sense, that's what you would see. You are troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed. In other words, if perplexed meaning that if we really thought about this situation, like any sane person would do, we'd be in despair. Do you understand it? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because you died back then. You can't try to die. That's a contradiction in terms. You reckon yourself crucified. You see the justice of God in that when Christ died, the human race died. And now what is this stuff? Who are these beings that are walking around? Well, they are the instead of Christ, the ones that are masquerading as you. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And you all know what mortal here means, right? Dead. Mortal is a word meaning dead. That's why the human race is mortal. But we lose that in English. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. In other words, if you truly believe, you can't help but speak. I promise you, if you truly believe, you'll do your best not to speak. Because you will make an enemy of everybody you talk to. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall also raise up us also by or in Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inner man, our inward man, is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen eternal. And the thing which is not seen by the seeing of the human eye is the New Jerusalem, that it's all finished, that it's all perfect. That you've been perfected by one offering, that you own all things. You can't have a problem. It's impossible. Can you have a little better idea of what separated means? Or am I just ranting? I'm probably just ranting too.
It's just so clear how you can't digest this. Without the separation.
No.
You're trying to make sense of it, and it doesn't make sense, nor do you want it to make sense.
That's why the book of Ecclesiastes is so important, to see that all human effort is empty, vain, fruitless, without purpose, except to get you to the point to know that, because then repentance is possible. But as long as you're trying to understand, as long as you're trying to get better, as long as you're somehow trying to improve yourself, it's not, it's just childish. Nobody have any, everybody understands perfectly.
This to me is all about integrity again. It all comes down to integrity. You can pour into the top. You can mix all these things together, the world, we can be separate, and the result of all of that is just tiny little drops of integrity. You can do the same thing, and different two people can do this same thing in the same circumstance, and it's totally different. As it falls on each one of them, you have to maintain your integrity.
So you're just one person. You're not. Well, this is what I'm thinking, but I'm not going to. Or we used to spend hours in this. I thank God for John Rutledge. Because when I'd go through this stuff, John Rutledge says, that's crap, Ollie. And then we'd spend, whatever time it took. Sometimes we had many Bible studies that lasted all night. Tell her with some reality. This is this is not. And then you talked about it, not as your testimony, I used to be bad, now I'm good, but how this has worked out in you. Without, you know, that's what satyrs are, and Bible study should be. It's not, you can't learn anything. What's going on? What is this? And it's certainly not to give a bunch of opinions about what somebody should do about something. You can see how that's the evidence that you're not separated. It's the exhortation always, second by second, second by second, have the faith of God. Not a solution to anything. That's why I'm always amazed when somebody comes and wants to have a meeting with me. Because I always tell you the same thing. Right?
It's always bad, too.
It's not always bad. It's only bad because you want it to be... No, you want it to be something that ministers to you, to get you out of it, to solve the issue, to fix the problem.
A solution.
Yeah, it's cool. The faith of God never changes. It's always the same moment.
That's right. There's only one moment. It's eternity. Everything else is meaningless. It doesn't matter whether it's last 50 billion years or 1 minute. It's... You're either in time or you're in eternity. The gift of God, that's why that's so incredible. The gift of God is eternal life. That means that you have the capacity, you have all that's needed to live life in that moment of that, what the world, when they visit that place, to what the world calls bliss.
Yeah, I just thought God's wisdom is that it doesn't matter that you tell me that, I can't do it by myself. Has to be done in with others.
Well, it's not. It's because there's no person. The idea of a personal savior is gone. That's as long you can have a personal savior as long as you're in the world. But once you're baptized, you leave the world. Then it's not about me. It's about us.
Right. And so you can't expect to be able to take this and work it out and make it fine for you. It's not.
It's us. It's our Father, not my Father who art in heaven. The only time it's my is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you can't, but if you want, then you lust. No matter what the add-on is to want. I would like Pete to be different. Or I wished I were nice so I would stop making fun of Harry all the time. Or anything else I want. They're meaningless. All righty. Take a big guy.